I bought this today. To start recording these talks for a number of reasons. One is that people both here and in New York have asked me if I would do this, and for the last almost 30 years since I've been teaching, I never wanted to. I always felt that there are a lot of great teachers out there, and pretty much everything that needs to be said has been said and or written. And I don't believe I have that much to contribute to it. But the other night, I was driving down to the theater, and Joshua put in an iPod of recording of Rudy while we were driving. And it's so amazing to me that Rudy's voice is on an iPod and that it plugs into the stereo system of the car, and there was Rudy coming out over the five as we were driving downtown. And I was amazed, not just so much to hear his words, because as important as his words always were to me, what came across the radio, the speakers, more than anything, was his presence. He was in the car with us, driving down the freeway. And I was pretty amazed by the experience of that. For a long time, I've had a collection of Rudy's tapes, and I listen to them every so often in the privacy of my bedroom and when I'm meditating. But to have him suddenly just be there while I was driving was not totally shocking, because often Rudy appears in my universe and talks to me or directs me or says things to me, but not so much out loud and not with quite so much vibrancy and sense of being in the same space. And so I thought, maybe that's the value of making this tape, or this recording. I think it's an MP3. Because somewhere along the way, one of you will be riding in your car on the way to somewhere, and you might plug this in, and suddenly you will find yourself sitting in this classroom and sort of amazed that you are sort of free of your normal constrictions of time and space. Somehow you have found yourself in this deep, wonderful space of meditation, even though you're in the middle of doing something else. So I hope that making these is worth it for people. I have to say, a title for the whole series of talks kind of came into my head in the middle of this class today, and the title was Talks to an Empty Room, which is a little bit of an insult to those of you who are here, because the room isn't exactly empty. There are six of you sitting here. But it's hard for me, in that there's a part of me that wants to say all this to as many human beings as possible, and it seems somewhat sad and not exactly lonely, but just incomplete, that there's so much to give and not that many people there to receive. I remember as a kid, the thing that bothered me more than anything was people who would have birthday parties that no one came to. I don't know if I was just totally empathetic or nervous that it would happen to me, but I would hate going to birthday parties where only two people showed up. You could just feel there were, like, you know, place settings for 12, and there were three of us. And my heart would just break, and I would try to do everything in my power to make the person whose birthday it was happy. And there was nothing you could do, really. There was a sense of more of absence than presence. And that sense of absence weighs heavily on people in this life, and certainly weighs heavily on me even as I sit here talking. And again, it's not totally fair because when I went to that party, there were three of us. And sitting in this class, there are six of us or seven of us. But I feel, in a sense, like speaking to all those who aren't here. And the meaning of that to me is pretty clear. Somehow, what this class is or what it is I'm trying to offer here does not have enough pull or draw to pull people away from the incredible attraction to and fascination with their daily life. This is an 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the evening commitment, and that means getting on a freeway when it's dark. And I think a lot of people just simply don't want to break away from whatever they're doing to come to a place where you just sit. It does seem kind of foolish. Why go somewhere to sit? I can sit at home. And I remember when I was studying with Rudy, and we had far more classes than I give here, classes almost every night. And I would go to as many of them as possible. But there were nights where I kept thinking, oh God, not tonight. I want to go to the movies. There's so much other things I would like to do. And I remember one night Blanche and I decided we would go to the movies instead of class. And we were driving down 2nd Avenue, I'm not sure. But we were driving past 10th Street, which is where Rudy's buildings were, and the classroom. And I just got hit by this wave that I'm doing the wrong thing. Going to the movies is not what I need to do. Going to class is what I needed to do. And I said to Blanche, let's go to class. And she was totally in agreement. And so we just drove and miraculously found a parking space. And I went into class, and it was one of the greatest classes I ever had, primarily because I had broken with my lower nature, if you will, the desire to be distracted, to be entertained, to be doing anything but sitting. I had somehow chosen consciously not to give in to that. And in not giving in to that, I brought another level of appreciation and gratitude to being in the class with Rudy. And as I sat there with him, I knew that in having given up something, I had opened a space in myself to get more. And I got so much in that class. I got so much just flooded through me. And, you know, Rudy didn't know I didn't go to the movies. He just knew I was sitting there so open and so available and so ready to take what he had to give. And, you know, what's given in this class on some level is fairly invisible. It's really something you can just call presence or energy or love. You can't bottle it. You can't sell it, really. People try to, but you can't. It's just something that is given. And you have to kind of make a decision. Sitting home watching Lost on Wednesday night or coming to class. And sitting home watching Lost will give you an hour of entertainment, distraction, pleasure. You may learn something watching the commercials. The show will give you a certain amount of tension and excitement and leave you hanging, because that's what it does to make you come back the next time, which is really what life is all about, something making you come back the next time and the next time for the unknown. What's going to be next? What happens next? But here, sitting in a class, it's not that unknown. What comes to you in the class is, in fact, in some very profound way, deeply known. It's been known your whole life. It's always been there. The very thing that's occurring in class is special because, in some way, it is not really new. But on another level, it is eternally new. Because every time you find it again, every time you sit in its presence, it reannounces itself as wondrous. You sit in a class, you sit in meditation, you sit and let go of the world for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, and what you find is the world starts to fall away, television falls away, your mother-in-law falls away, everything that's been on your mind for a week falls away. And what happens is you just start to enter into this place of unbelievable stillness. And in that stillness, there resides a kind of joy of being that nothing on television will give you. No other human being will give it to you. It cannot, in fact, be given. You can only sit with it. And you can only begin to remember it, to realize it, and to be it. The value of having a teacher, somebody who is sitting with you, somebody who has some level of establishment in this space, is that as they tune into this presence, it presents itself. And as you sit in that presence, you begin to recognize it as your own inner truth. It rises up your spine, it fills you, it fills the room. This presence completely alters your sense of time and space, and it gives you this memory of your true nature, your true being, your true existence, your self. I said the other day in class that this light at the end of the tunnel that everyone seems to be reaching for and looking for in their journey through life is really not at the end of the tunnel. It's really the very beginning of the tunnel. That we come from light, and as we merge from this light and enter the world, slowly the world begins to cloud over us. Slowly it begins to create this darkness and shadow. And the light becomes more and more obscured by our passion and our need and our hunger and our fascination and our excitement and all of those things that come at us in the world. All of that starts to cover over this incredible sense of pure brilliance that's at the core of our very nature. And so we keep pushing through, looking for light in the future, looking, how do I get through all of this cloudiness? How do I get through all of this shadow? And the only way through it is to cleanse yourself and look backward, look deep into yourself, and you realize that you've never, ever been away from that light. You've simply been looking at the shadows. You've never been separate from that incredible luminosity at the core of your being. You have simply been fascinated by the show of light on the screen of your existence. When we sit with a teacher who is present, that light starts to shine through. It starts to glimmer in our own psyche. We begin to see cracks in ourselves reflected in that light. When I would sit with Rudy, I didn't know what he was doing to me. I just knew as I sat there, I felt like a different person. I felt like he was cracking open the incrustation that was my being. He was making me look at parts of myself that I didn't even remember at that point were there. The light started to rise up. It started to break through, and it was through his work with me, his cracking me open on an almost literal basis, that I started to realize that I too was illuminated, that illumination in Rudy was simply a reflection of illumination in myself. And as he cracked himself open and he cracked me open, the light that shined through was the same light. The light coming through Rudy and the light glimmering in me started to become one luminosity, one brilliance. And that was what I was hungering for, and it was through the teaching that Rudy presented me that I began to sense it and to feel it. But then Rudy died. He left, and I was covered back up with the shadows of the world. And what really left me with, more than anything, was a practice. And that practice really was sitting. Rudy left me with a practice of sitting down every day for, he said, 20 minutes to half an hour. I sit for half an hour to an hour in the morning. I sit in the evening before I go to bed. And I try throughout the day to find this way back into this simple light, this light that we call enlightenment. And I just sit there, and it's amazing to me over the years of day-to-day practice that the access to this light becomes swifter, easier, sweeter. I sit down, no matter how I feel in the morning, I just sit there, and the first thing that happens is I take a breath, and the light shines. It's like taking a light bulb and going, that's all it is. You turn it on. I've learned to do that because I sit and do it every day. The value of coming to class, and even more so, the value of sitting every day is learning to turn on the light. Just pull the switch, turn it on. Feel this incredible awareness in yourself. And you do that every day, every single day. And after a while, your life is a string of light bulbs going off. Hundreds and thousands of light bulbs going off day after day. And you find yourself doing it in the middle of the day. You find yourself doing it in the middle of the night. There you are. Light, 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 light. And the fabric of your being becomes flooded with this kind of light. And that is your becoming a being of light. And that's what we're all working for. And if you don't do this every day of your life, if you turn that light on once a month or once a year, or if you go through a lifetime, as many people do, and never reach for that light at all, you live in darkness. You live in a very dark space. And then at the very end of your life, when there is nothing but light, because that's all the end of life is, it is just the enormous disappearance of all that is shadowy, all that's dark, and there you are in the presence of unbelievable love. And the ego mind being that has run from that its whole life doesn't know how to turn back to it at that moment. It doesn't know how to be absorbed by it when there is nothing but light. It is so frightening. It's like people coming out of a dark theater on a sunny afternoon. You can't see. You close your eyes against the light. People coming out of a lifetime with no light. The light comes to them, this love, this embrace, this enormous illumination, and they run as fast as they can in the other direction. Back to the shadow, back to the darkness, back to form and manifestation and everything to hide from this incredible presence of the creation of the universe. And what happens is they create another life. They jump back into the manifested state and they spend this whole life once again trying to find the light. Having just run away from it, they're trying again to find it. Somewhere along the way, you have to stop, sit down, and begin this process of letting go of your attachment to the shadows and just going, ha. When that happens, you will find yourself going to a class as often as you can. You know, Rudy, I had class with Rudy for 7 years. I went to every one I could go to, including the one where I wanted to go to the movies. I went to as many classes as I could go to, and those classes were the most transformative thing that ever took place in my life. I will tell you this, as much as I love listening to the tape of Rudy in the car on the way downtown, I would give all of those tapes and all of those recordings and all of those moments frozen in time for one more hug from Rudy. And so it's hard for me when I see people turning away from what is offered in this situation, because one day they may have these recordings to listen to and go, wow, I'm so happy I have the recordings. But if you're anything like me, the hug is more important. The hug, the touch, the feel, the actual exchange. This physical moment that we have in each other's presence is so remarkable. It's such an extraordinary reality that somehow we have gathered in this space, that we have brought ourselves together in this space to share in this remarkable thing of being. To do it consciously, to do it with awareness, is the greatest thing in the world. And each one of us here has been doing that now for a period of time in our lives, and it is a transforming event for everyone. And I can only tell you that keep this thing alive, keep at it, do this work continually, because it has an aggregate. The more you sit, the more you shine, the more brilliant you will be. And in time, people will look at you and they will just stare in your eyes, and they'll look at your face and they'll go, what kind of cream are you wearing on your face? Or would you just go to a spa? Or whatever they think of as somehow being the reflection that is in you. But in truth, you won't have done anything except be yourself. And the radiance of that self will become noticeable to everyone, and they will want to hug it, and hopefully you'll be available to hug them back. Any questions? Okay, well, I'm going to keep making these tapes and we'll see what happens. Bo?
Rudy spoke. He received you so much because he was there. And just, there were times when things were available, when the energy came in, when the gifts were there, and he got them. Because he was sitting there, because he was there. And others didn't get them simply because they weren't there.
I hope that picked up on here. Bo was saying that Rudy often said that the gifts that were waiting for him in this world arrived because he was there, because he was waiting for them, he was available to them, and that many of us, by not sitting, don't get them when they come. Fair enough. If you picked up, Bo's voice will say it better than mine. But I think that's a really wonderful concept, that what we are doing by being constantly present is being awakened to the enormous diversity of the gift of being, that it is never quite the same twice, although in some remarkable way, it's never new. Thank you guys for coming.